Hello.
Was there an Adam?
No.
Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit the apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world.
We did. We started to burn many things we found. That's Dar Williams singing with the great Pete Seeger and David Burns. The Solartopia theme song. We are back with another Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. This is Harvey Wasserman on PRN. Glad to have you with us. We got a great show today. We have people from Santa Barbara who are going to join us on a wide range of issues. I had booked in Dr. Jerry Brown from the World Business Academy in Santa Barbara before this very latest spill occurred to once again be foul our planet at the behest of the coal, oil, nuke, and gas industries. King Kong still wrecking our planet, making things a mess, and tons and tons of oil just be fouling the beaches there. And then we're going to talk to, we have Dr. Jerry Brown and Becca Clausen from the World Business Academy in Santa Barbara. Are you with us, Jerry and Becca?
Yes,
I am.
Okay, and Becca, you're with us as well?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, very, very good. So I'm talking to you from scenic, I won't say sunny California, Southern California. I got to say I've been here for most of May, and I have been, shall we say, deeply disturbed by the weather here, which has been relatively cold and gray, at least in the mornings. But we did have a couple of days of rain there, so that's been good. But what you have had in Santa Barbara, California is not good. A horrific spill, yet again, of oil on one of the most pristine beaches in the world. Can you tell us about this latest tragedy brought to us by the Koch brothers and the coal, oil, nuke, and gas industry?
Sure. So this is Becca here. I was out at the scene about 3 hours after the spill originally started on Tuesday, and 21,000 gallons of crude oil had already leaked into the ocean. They found out shortly thereafter that over 100,000 gallons had leaked from the pipe, so that leaves about 80,000 gallons seeping into the shore itself, and there's now added concern that we're actually contaminating a groundwater aquifer as well as the ocean.
Oh, my God. All right, so tell us who did this.
So it was a pipeline rupture, a pipeline that parallels the shoreline that carries crude from our offshore oil rigs here in the channel to processing plants around Southern California. The pipeline company is All American Plains Pipeline, and they are currently having to cover the cost of the cleanup.
Well, I'll believe that when I see it. What is happening now? First of all, where did the oil go? What does it look like? What's the beach that it's primarily wrecking?
Let's see. So when I was at the site at Refugio, it was just a black blanket of thick, heavy crude covering the whole shoreline. It immediately stretched about 9 miles, and now we're seeing the oil show up 12 miles south of the original spill site. So Refugio State Beach, El Capitan State Beach are both completely covered. Unfortunately, the cleanup operations didn't start right away. There was some confusion as to which agency would be in charge because the spill originated onshore but then leaked offshore. So the EPA and the Coast Guard were kind of in a dual role, and cleanup didn't start for about 15 hours as far as the onshore oil. And so I was very disturbed to see that the oil was on the beach that first day, and when I got back the next morning, it had all been washed back out to sea. So nobody cleaned it up the first night. The high tide came and took it back out.
You know, it's really hard to contain rage when you hear this kind of stuff. And I have to remind our listeners that these oil rigs were fought very heavily by the people of Southern California. Is that right?
Sorry, what was your question?
When these oil rigs were originally going to go into Southern California, the people of California fought them very hard. I mean, this was not something that the public really wanted, these oil rigs. Is that right?
I'd say that's correct, especially after the 1969 oil spill. Most of us here in Santa Barbara County, every time we look offshore and see those oil rigs, we're reminded of just how vulnerable we are as a community with that dangerous industry operating right off of our shore. And this spill has been a stark reminder of the inherent dangers of this industry.
And I assume this is not the first spill that those rigs have done. You mentioned one in 69?
Yeah, the massive oil spill that has been famed as the birth of the environmental movement, when millions of toxic crude spilled into our channel here in Santa Barbara and washed up along many, many beaches throughout the channel. And 40 years later, we still have the same players, but this time I believe that we're going to come together as a community with a united voice saying, you know, Governor Brown wants us to move to renewable energies. This industry is today getting ever more dangerous. That the heavier the crude is that they have to bring out of the ground, the more dilutants they add to it, which makes the pipelines more corroded. And so risk of leaks increases.
I want a prediction from you. How many of the principal owners of this pipeline company are going to go to jail for this?
You know, I can't speak to that. I don't know. None.
How many executives from Exxon went to jail for the Exxon Valdez? I'll give you a hint.
Right, none.
Between minus one and plus one.
True.
How many executives went to jail for the Gulf spill, for the sunset, the Sunrise, whatever it was called, from BP? How many BP executives went to jail? I'll give you another hint. It's between minus one and plus one. So how many of these clowns from this pipeline company are going to go to jail? I don't think any of them are going to go to jail.
You know, and
right?
I invite us to think about more than just the pipeline company. I mean, the fact is spills and oil train explosions are happening almost on a daily basis in this country. And it's the nature of the oil industry right now that is the problem. It's not this one pipeline company, although they are a bad player. We need to transition right now, and that's why I'm so excited to be working with the World Business Academy on the solutions side.
Well, first of all, let's deal with the rest of the spill. Has the spill stopped? Is there new stuff coming out?
There's no new oil coming out of the pipeline and no oil flowing out onto the beach anymore. They stopped it at both of those spots. The seepage down into the ground is still happening. They're currently trying to excavate it. And the oil has not been contained in the ocean. It's currently migrating further south. I was on the beach all weekend long at various locations, and it was the oil. I was there as the oil started washing up in front of the Bacara Beach Resort, and there were hired staff cleaning up the oil spill in hazmat suits, 2 feet away from kids playing in the sand. Now, there are two problems with that. Well, more than that, but the two that I'll mention are, one, that those workers should have been wearing respirators as well as hazmat suits. The amount of benzene, toluene, other gases coming off of that oil is so caustic, it's a health hazard, and those workers were not protected adequately. Number two, if we're having workers wear hazmat suits on the beach to clean up this stuff, why were they allowing children to continue to play on that beach? There's a big PR battle happening here, and it's putting our local residents at risk. We need workers wearing respirators, even if it's bad press for the oil companies, and we need to evacuate beaches, even if it's costly to the operators.
Man, so what the company now that did this spill, they're trying to say it's all safe and it's your kids can go out and play?
Yeah, they're trying to make it seem like it's been handled, but that's not the case. We have folks doing independent water testing as well. We should have the results tomorrow or the next day.
Who paid for the water testing?
It's an organization called Water Defense. They're the same organization that uncovered the wastewater injection scandal in Kern County recently, where oil companies were found to be injecting through federally protected aquifers and injecting toxic wastewater into those aquifers that are supposed to be backup for historic or unprecedented droughts like the one we're going through.
And so now you said that the oil is threatening an underground aquifer. Can you tell us about that?
You know, I don't have any details on that. I just know that it's one of many concerns that we're facing here.
All right, so this oil came from the oil drilling rigs that you can see in Santa Barbara, off the coast of Santa Barbara, right?
Correct.
How far out are they?
They're anywhere between 1 and 3 miles. And there's also, recently it was discovered that there has been fracking on those offshore rigs. So the local Environmental Defense Center has a lawsuit against the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement showing that 51 permits were illegally granted to frack and acidize off our shore. And that lawsuit is currently underway. So that oil that was flowing through that pipeline is potentially fracked oil. And I think your listeners probably are aware of the dangers with fracking chemicals.
So these fracking permits were granted and nobody knew about them?
Nobody knew about them until about a year ago when the Environmental Defense Center and some UCSB researchers uncovered a thread of emails that were indicating that people were authorizing permits without environmental review.
So after all the years of opposition to these oil rigs off the coast of Santa Barbara, they secretly went ahead and issued fracking permits and didn't tell anybody?
Correct. And they were in the email thread, it said things like, shouldn't we be asking for permission for this? And then the other person would say, no, we can go ahead. yeah.
And was the person telling them that they didn't need to get permits a part of the government?
There are several federal officials involved in the lawsuit. I'm not sure of the details or the names, but I recommend that people go to the Environmental Defense Center website, and they have a link to their Dirty Water Offshore Fracking Report.
Man. Well, so you're telling me that because the agencies, the California agencies that may or may not have been responsible for this were yelling at each other, that nobody got out there to clean this oil up in the beginning. It's still on the beaches. It's flowing down with the coastal currents to other beaches. And we don't know how it's going to be cleaned up. Is that basically it?
There are, yes, the cleanup, the response has been very disappointing and worrisome. The contracted agency or contracted company that was supposed to be ready for this spill cleaned these, recently sold off a good bit of their traditional cleanup equipment, like the booms and things that would skim the oil off the surface of the water. They currently only have about 3,000 feet of that equipment. And we'd need 10 to 20 times that amount to adequately deal with this spill. I'm talking with people who are heavily involved in the Gulf spill and see a similar pattern here where our local cleanup company must have been, they think that our local cleanup company must have been anticipating an offshore oil spill from one of the rigs where they'd be allowed to use dispersants, chemical dispersants, instead of the traditional booms. And that's why they sold off their equipment. This spill seems to have really surprised people by the fact that it started onshore and leaked offshore. Therefore, the oil is far too close to the shoreline for chemical dispersants to be used.
God, I mean, it's mind-boggling.
It really is. And I just want to point out as well that, you know, Santa Barbara County tends to pride itself on how many environmental regulations we have. I heard it a lot during the Measure P campaign where we tried to ban fracking and extreme oil drilling in this county last year. And just point out that Chevron spent millions of dollars to defeat it. Santa Barbara County likes to think that we have the best regulations as far as oil drilling goes, but no regulations can protect us from these types of hazards because the inherent nature of the oil industry today is risky. And as long as we have production, oil production in this county, we are going to see spills and accidents like this.
Now, are they putting up slick ads on TV and in the newspapers now that say there's no real danger and everything's cool?
I haven't seen any slick ads yet, but I have had reporters asking me why they're being told that everything's fine when they go out on the beach themselves and they see big gobs of oil still laying there.
Man, I don't know, man. It's really hard to contain one's rage when one hears this kind of thing. So what's going to come next now? Is there going to be any chance to shut these oil rigs at all and to stop the fracking?
I have to believe that anything is possible when people get involved.
Well, I agree with you. What's being done? Have organizations now come together to make a political change here?
Yeah, so I am an organizer with Food and Water Watch, which is a national organization focused on putting an end to dangerous practices like this. And also there are several local organizations working on amplifying the message about how dangerous the industry is right now. We'd like to see lowest caps bill that would put a more immediate moratorium on offshore fracking. We'd like to see that pass. So we're going to be...
Well, tell us about this bill and tell us how people can plug in to do something about it.
Sure. I'd recommend that people go to hashtag EndOilNow, the Facebook page. That's where I'm going to be keeping people updated as to immediate action steps. We already had a very active weekend. We marched about 2 miles with a 90-foot-long inflatable pipeline protesting the spill and the inadequacy of the cleanup, calling on Governor Brown to put an immediate moratorium on onshore and offshore drilling. As far as lowest caps bill, I'm sorry, I can't really give any details about that right now, but if people Facebook message us at EndOilNow, I can provide more information.
Give us that website again, please.
It's a Facebook page, End Oil Now.
Okay, .org, .com. Oh, it's a Facebook page. End
yeah.
Oil. And is there a website?
The website is being made right now. This was a very recent development over the weekend with a group of highly energized and very outraged individuals who actually were on the scene volunteering the first day cleaning up.
Well, instead of volunteering, I mean, I think you should volunteer, but you should all do a bill and send it to the oil company. I mean, you know, this time where people go out and volunteer to clean up these corporations' mess, you know, I think you should send them a bill. You know,
that's,
$15
that's
an hour.
Point. That is a very good point. I'll suggest that.
Yeah, and make a big deal out of it. I mean, you know, why do we have to keep volunteering to go out and clean up these guys' mess? The guys who made the mess are getting paid thousands of dollars an hour. They're never going to be prosecuted. They're never going to go to jail. They'll get big, big bonuses when their companies go bankrupt. And, you know, it's not right. So I think everybody who volunteers should keep track of their time and send in bills.
I think that's a great idea. I can see the press release now.
Good, good. Well, send me a copy and I'll post it at nukefree.org and we'll deal with it.
Great. And something else I'd like to mention quickly is that we have a few new oil projects in the permitting pipeline onshore in this county, one of which is in an oil field where there are already 96 emergency seep cans in place because oil has been bubbling out of the ground in unexpected locations, indicating that oil companies are exceeding the legal pressure limit of the surrounding strata. So Santa Barbara County is facing several different oil-related challenges right now, another one being the fact that Phillips 66 Refinery wants to access our train line so that they can bring toxic tar sands crude to be refined in just north of Santa Maria. So we've got oil trains, we've got hundreds of more hazardous oil wells in the permitting pipeline. We have this oil spill. We have fracking offshore. We have a lot going on.
Amazing. Okay, we've been talking with Becca Clarkson here at the World Business Academy in Santa Barbara, California. Becca's with Food and Water, is that right?
I'm with Food and Water Watch, yeah.
Food and Water Watch. The spill, the infuriating, devastating, depressing, a planet-killing latest spill in Santa Barbara County of destroying or polluting these gorgeous beaches. How many big gallons of crude oil do they now estimate?
105,000 gallons, 21,000 gallons of which made it into the ocean for sure.
Unbelievable. Okay, now you are there with Dr. Jerry Brown. Jerry, are you with us?
I am.
Okay, so we've been talking with your colleague about the oil spill. Let's change gears now a bit. Dr. Jerry Brown, you have been with the fight on nuclear power for many, many years. I remember working with you in Florida on the Turkey Point and St. Lucie reactors.
Sure.
Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. Just before we leave the oil spill, I can walk to the beach. But you just look on the Facebook pages of the people who are posting here in Santa Barbara, and what you see is these gorgeous, gorgeous waves coming in, but instead of them being blue, they're black with oil. You see the horrific sights of seals, and you see birds covered with oil. There are, dedicated volunteers out there and trying to clean these animals and save their lives. But it is, you're outraged, and understandably so. It is a horrific damage to the environment, to the beautiful, the wonderful marine life that thrives out here. And it's a horrible thing. And you've seen it all in the nuclear industry. And the same thing is here in the oil industry. And until we get rid of these two industries, these accidents are going to be in progress and inevitable to come around from time to time. So, yes, I've been involved with the anti-nuclear issues since the Three Mile Island period of late 1979, and started in with interventions against the steam generator fiascos at Turkey Point Nuclear Power Plant, where we were able to get stop the utility there, Florida Power and Light, from charging the customers then $500 million for the steam generators that broke. It's a generic steam generator decay and leaks, as you know, Harvey, has been a generic problem throughout pressurized water reactors, and that's the same thing that led to the shutdown of the San Onofre plant. It was the catalyst here in California.
Well, let's jump back for 1 minute. I'm going to we'll talk about that. I want to emphasize my belief that these are not separate industries. You know, this is all King Kong coal, oil, nukes, and gas. And there's no difference in the long run between this planet-killing spill here at Gusher, whatever the hell it is, at in Santa Barbara, and the nuclear meltdown at Fukushima, and the, you know, the disaster of fracking. I mean, it's just appalling to me. And I got to say, you know, I want to remind everybody listening to this that these oil wells off the coast of Santa Barbara were fought, and they were fought very, very hard by people who warned that exactly this would happen. You know, this is not a surprise, this horrible spill at Santa Barbara, any more than the Exxon Valdez was a surprise. You know, the Alaska pipeline was voted on, and there was a 50-50 vote in the U.S. Senate as to whether to allow the Alaska pipeline to go ahead. And Spiro Agnew, that criminal from Maryland, who was Richard Nixon, the other criminal's vice president, cast the deciding vote to allow the Alaska pipeline to go ahead. Now, Spiro Agnew actually did go to jail, but, you know, the guys who ran the Exxon and were responsible for the pipeline disaster there, for the Valdez disaster, have never gone to jail. The guys from the BP who destroyed the Gulf of Mexico have never gone to jail. And now these guys from, what is it, All American something pipeline, you know, I think they should be, somebody should go there with a bunch of orange jumpsuits and arrest these guys. Your reaction to that?
Go ahead.
Hello. Jerry Brown, are you there?
Yes.
Yes. So, I know you're an attorney. You're an attorney, aren't you?
No. I'm not an attorney. I'm a research scientist. I've worked a lot of research and written books about the nuclear industry. Worked on steam generators. I directed the Baby T study, the Strontium 90 Baby T study for the Radiation and Public Health Project. Been a university professor for 40 years. So I'm mainly a researcher and a community activist when it comes to energy issues.
All right, so when you and I go make a citizen arrest on these guys, we're going to have to bring other attorneys, aren't we?
Well, Harvey, I mean, you've seen it. You know, there's been hundreds of millions of dollars of subsidies for the oil industry, for the nuclear industry. There was a study done by one of the major investment banking houses. What it found was that in a five-year period, the 12 major oil companies, which are among the largest companies in the world, generated a free cash flow of $5 trillion. That's after everything, after the golden parachutes, after dividend to their shareholders, after all the investment in exploration. So the amount of money that is generated and that is available to influence Congress, so that no matter, you know, you do make progress, but the resistance is huge, so that even after laws are passed, even after the will of the citizens is expressed, they find ways to subvert it, and it's just a piece of the cost of doing business. You know, there are going to be spills, there are going to be people hurt, there's going to be damages. It's a part of the cost of doing business, and that's why we have to end these industries. And in the long arc of history, we know that it's inevitable, but, you know, many communities, the environment, people suffer the consequences on the way during this battle.
Right, and so this company, which is based in Texas, right, this oil pipeline company that did this to Santa Barbara?
Yeah.
Right, aren't they based in Texas?
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, let's predict what's going to happen to them. Nothing. You know, they'll write some money off their taxes. You know, they'll buy some ads, which they'll charge against their taxes. And, they'll come there with their flannel shirts and wring their hands. And, nothing's gonna happen to these guys. So that's gotta end. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, we've been warned, the Union of Concerned Scientists has told us there's a 1 in 6 chance of a major earthquake happening at Diablo Canyon that would be stronger than the plant is designed to withstand, a 1 in 6 chance of that happening in every year that the plant is in operation. In other words, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the utility, Pacific Gas and Electric, are playing Russian radioactive roulette with the lives of the people here in Los Angeles, threatened to contaminate the food supply. And if that actually happened, as you know from the Price-Anderson Act, which was first authorized back in 1957 and put a $560 million cap per nuclear accident. It was reauthorized, the amount was raised, but still, I mean, Fukushima is over $100 billion and rising. So even if that, if the worst case happened, no one's going to jail, and the public, the American taxpayer, will pick up most of the accident costs of Diablo Canyon.
Well, I want to say, you know, one person in Japan did go to jail because of Fukushima. He was a professor, still is, I guess, and he publicly criticized how the government was handling nuclear waste. So he actually was thrown in jail. But the guys who did the disaster of Fukushima, and by the way, Tokyo Electric Power is making money at Fukushima. They are being subsidized by the government, by the taxpayers, to do the cleanup, which is a joke, which they have no idea how to do. But they're being paid at Tokyo Electric Power for the disaster at Fukushima as it goes on. And the same thing, of course, would happen at Diablo Canyon, given the current structure of the way the industry is set up. So, Jerry, we're going to get into Fukushima in 1 minute. I do want to. We still have Rebecca on the line, right? Becca, you're still there?
Yes, I'm here.
So, I want you, if you would, please, to. I want to participate with you in writing up the press releases on. I think this should be the first oil spill where the people who go out and volunteer demand to be paid. And, enough of this already. I think that just as what happened, of course, at a nuclear plant, you know, it's moot. Nobody can go out and clean up anything, really. But I think you should, I want to work with you to write it up. I'll send you a memo. I'll send it to Jerry. And we should make a public issue of this. I mean, it would be one thing if the public actually supported these drill rigs going in, but there was tremendous opposition, just as there was to the Valdez, and there is to Diablo Canyon, and it's an apology. So we'll talk about that. Okay, Jerry, let's proceed now. Diablo Canyon, a new movie is coming out this weekend called San Andreas, about the Great Fall. Is that right? You know about that?
I'm sorry, you were breaking up a little bit, Harvey. Can you repeat that?
A new movie
is coming. You're a little staticky.
Okay. Is this better?
Yes.
A new movie is coming out about Diablo, about an earthquake on the San Andreas Fault. And I understand that, you know, and I've seen some of the previews and you see the billboards. And I understand that there's no mention in this film of Diablo Canyon or any nuclear plant. Do you know anything about that?
I saw the trailer only. And I didn't notice anything about that, but I'm not familiar enough with the entire plot of the movie to know if that was included. I rather doubt that it is, but I can't comment on it.
Okay, well, I'm going to go see the movie. I usually don't go see these blockbuster disaster films, but I think we should all, at least a few of us, go see the movie and check out and see if they actually did anything about the nuke. I'm going to bet they did.
Well, I'll tell you, I really hope not, because if you recall, and you've been around long enough, Harvey, to know this, that, you know, it wasn't long after what was the movie with Jack Lemmon and Jane Fonda about a potential?
The China Syndrome.
What was that? The China Syndrome. It wasn't long after that than Three Mile Island happened. So I hope they don't have anything in it about Diablo Canyon in this particular case.
I was actually on the set of the China Syndrome in 78 or 79, and you're 100% right. When it came out, it, history or fact sort of followed fiction there, and then we did have the meltdown. So,
Exactly. One other point that I think is really important, we all know that fracking is related to increased earthquake activity. I mean, this is one of the reasons why the governor of New York and, you know, banned fracking, and a very important study came out recently, a report as to why, what the scientific data was on the basis of which New York did that. But here we are, we're increasing fracking in the state of California, and we have the most vulnerable seismic, you know, the most seismically vulnerable nuclear plant in the country sitting right here. So these industries are related, and an accident in one or activity in one can also cause the ultimate disaster, which would be a earthquake, tsunami, and meltdown at Diablo Canyon. And Diablo Canyon happens to be in a historic tsunami zone, so it is vulnerable to a Fukushima-like accident.
Yeah, and I want to point out, because someone else will jump in and yell about this, at Fukushima, they did have a bluff there, and the site was originally, 65, 70 feet high. It might have even been higher. And the geniuses at Tokyo Electric Power took down the bluff so that they could have units 1 through 4 at sea level, which would make it easier for them to pump water. And then, of course, the tsunami came in and just completely wrecked the place. Diablo Canyon, they're still on the bluff, but a tsunami could definitely come in and wipe out the intake setup, and that would be cause a catastrophe.
Well, so, even more than that, I mean, Diablo Canyon sits about 80 feet high on the bluff, but in a report that was buried for a long time by the NRC, the Sewell report, it indicated that tsunami activity would not have to go over the plant to destroy it. It could eat away at the bluff and therefore create conditions that could lead to a meltdown at the plant. So it is not safe from even Fukushima-like tsunami activity.
Okay, so now, Jerry, you have been deeply involved in the intervention and the legal proceedings against Diablo Canyon. So tell us now, in our 20 or so minutes remaining, how do we shut Diablo Canyon?
I think we have to look at these things as, where's the vulnerability? In San Onofre, it was the self-inflicted vulnerability of Edison's altering the steam generators in a way that caused the steam generators to decay, leak, and release radiation within 1 year of operation, 1 year after these $700, $800 million steam generators were placed into the plant. In the case of Diablo Canyon, it's the fact that it sat on major earthquake faults when it was built. Everybody knew that. Shell Oil knew that. Geological surveys knew this. Everyone understands that this plant should have never been built on this site. And now additional earthquake faults have been discovered since the plant started operating in the mid-80s. There are 13 significant earthquake faults around the plant, some of them coming as close as 2,000 feet away from the reactors. And you have the possibility of multiple earthquakes, even increasing the ground motion beyond what the plant is designed to withstand. So what's happened now is, as these additional earthquakes and earthquake pressures have been acknowledged geologically, PG&E, with the compliance of the NRC, has altered its analysis and continues to say that the plant is safe. This is really a de facto license amendment. In other words, by changing the parameters of what the plant is allowed to operate at, they are, in fact, altering the license of the plant. This is illegal without a public hearing, without a 59.59 hearing under the NRC. And Friends of the Earth, which it's a CFR 50.59 procedure, which requires a public hearing for a licensing amendment. Just as in the case, what happened in San Onofre, Friends of the Earth has filed suit against this. We, the World Business Academy, and the Mothers for Peace in San Luis Obispo, who've been fighting Diablo Canyon even before it ever opened, are endorsing this activity. Now, Friends of the Earth has a lawsuit before a U.S. Federal Court of Appeals in the D.C. District saying shut it down or require it to be upgraded, which would be so expensive and essentially impossible, which would lead to the shutdown of the plant. Since this independent court has agreed to take this case, the NRC finds itself between a rock and a hard place, just as they did in the San Diego San Onofre situation. So the NRC, in a remarkable decision just last week, 3-1, and there are two new Obama appointee commissioners on the NRC, voted to have the Atomic Safety and Licensing Board review this whole process. Now, normally we know that the Atomic Safety and Licensing Board, whose judges are appointed by the NRC, can very often be a kangaroo court. In this case, there are some good judges on this panel, and in fact, one of the NRC commissioners who voted for this review are on that panel. They're only doing it because, as in San Onofre, they're between a rock and a hard place. And they're there to see if PG&E has indeed violated its licensing agreement. If so, this could lead to a public hearing where all of this seismic information would come out, and that's just the kind of situation that happened at San Onofre, which caused Southern California Edison, the operator of that plant, to pull the plug on that plant. So the pressure points on Diablo Canyon are intensifying. There is also the once-through cooling issue. There's also the health issues, but this is where the plant is most vulnerable and where we, Friends of the Earth, the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace, and other groups that support our efforts around the state are focusing our efforts to shut this plant down as soon as possible. In other words, to kill Diablo Canyon before it kills us.
Well, that's pretty amazing. So what is the time frame on all this? The explanation of what happened in San Onofre really quickly so people can understand the analogy here to Diablo Canyon. At San Onofre, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Jerry Baum, the idiots at Southern California Edison decided to trade out their steam generators. And they were so smart that they decided to upgrade or do some kind of alterations to the steam generators, which they said would make them better. And then they put in these new steam generators at a cost approaching $1 billion, well over $600 million, and the steam generators were different than the ones that were allowed under the license, and they leaked, and legal proceedings happened, and they were confronted with a license hearing because they had violated the license by putting in unlicensed steam generators, and then Southern California Edison threw in the towel and shut San Onofre. Is that a reasonable narrative of what happened?
Yeah, that's a very reasonable narrative. And just to flesh that out a little bit, this happens going back as early as 2004. And these are not idiots or stupid people. They outsmarted themselves in this particular case. They lied to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. They lied to the Public Utilities Commission. And they got caught because the modifications that they made to the steam generator were so aggressive. They took out the central pillar of the steam generators. They increased the flow of radioactive water, which led to instability and led to vibrations and led to cracking of the steam generators within 1 year. Now, normally it takes about 8, 9, 10, 12 years for steam generators to start to decay. This happened in 1 year with 6,000 tubes in a vulnerable situation. Edison knew about this. They instructed Mitsubishi, which manufactured these steam generators, to make 5 major modifications. But they lied to the NRC, and they said, no, we are buying like-for-like steam generators, off-the-shelf steam generators. Therefore, there is no public hearing or license review under CFR 5059 that needs to be required. When all of this hit the fan and the steam generators leaked in 2012, enough radiation that Edison shut the plant down immediately, this is when there was no hiding it anymore. Edison wanted to restart the steam generators at 60 or 70% power. This was a complete science experiment, and we brought nuclear engineers into the proceeding who said, this is in all likelihood, these will leak again. and Senator Barbara Boxer, who then was head of the Natural Resources, Environmental and Natural Resources Committee in the Senate, which had oversight over the NRC and its budget, sent a very pressing letter to the NRC. I think Markey joined her on that and said, look, in essence, and I'm paraphrasing, if you turn these reactors on again and they radiate my constituency, you know, the millions of people who live in Southern California, there's going to be hell to pay. So that's when the NRC said to cut Edison loose, and they said there's going to have to be a public hearing if you want to restart this plant. And at that point, the number counters at Edison said, okay, we've had enough, and they closed the plant down. They made the announcement in June of 2013, we're closing this plant down, which took everyone by surprise in the state of California energy establishment.
All right, so now give us a parallel scenario of what could happen now, given the situation at Diablo Canyon with the seismic issue and the licensing issue, the issues that have been raised.
Okay, the parallel situation is that in the last years, PG&E has manipulated the data, the seismic data, and continued to say that the plant is safe to operate. This is after their own online inspector, who is Dr. Michael Peck, who was the senior NRC inspector at Diablo Canyon on site from 2007 to 2012, called for the closure of the plant. He said the plant is operating outside of its license. They are the two reactors there are not designed to withstand the powerful shaking that could happen from even one of the several nearby earthquake faults. And to quote Dr. Peck, he said, continuing to run the reactors challenges the presumption of nuclear safety. He filed his report with the NRC. His regional director overrode him. He then filed a 38-page differing professional opinion, and as a reward for his diligence and concern about the safety of the people in the area, they transferred him out of Diablo Canyon over to a teaching job in Tennessee. But we have the internal review by a senior nuclear official saying the plant is operating outside of its license. This has led to a number of revelations and to the fact that PG&E modified behind the scenes its operating license by manipulating the data to show that the plant continues to be safe. This is what Friends of the Earth, Barbara Boxer, Mothers for Peace, World Business Academy are calling PG&E on and saying this is a license amendment. This is illegal. This plant is operating illegally and taking them to court. So if the Atomic and Safety Licensing Board panel of the NRC agrees with us and agrees there should be a public hearing on this, on the license amendment that's taken place at Diablo Canyon, then all of this data is going to come out in public just as it would have. It could lead to the appeals court saying close the plant until it's safe or upgrade the plant, which could cost so many hundreds of billions of so many billions of dollars that PG&E would pull the plug. That is the parallel track to the San Onofre closure that's going on here.
Well, it sounds really good to me. and you know, it sounds really good to everybody else. And we also have, in addition to the seismic issue, the earthquake issue at Diablo Canyon, we have the water quality issue. And, of course, the owners, the operators of Diablo Canyon are violating state and federal law every day that they're operating this plant. So, Jerry Brown, you want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah. So, in this is a water issue. It's a marine issue. And what you have here is a number of plants, the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant and several gas-fired plants that cool themselves by taking seawater in, using it to cool the reactors, in this case, of Diablo Canyon, and then pumping that water back into the ocean 20 degrees hotter, which disrupts the ecosystem. Diablo Canyon is responsible for 85% of the marine damage caused by this once through cooling system, as opposed to a recirculating cooling towers, which you've seen at Three Mile Island, and many people are familiar with reactor cooling towers. Diablo Canyon takes in 2.5 billion gallons of seawater a day, heats it, pumps it back into the bay, kills over 1 billion fish a year in the process. The state of California passed a law in 2010 saying this is illegal, and you have to 2015 to comply and to close off this once through cooling. PG&E, because it is such a powerful, as the utilities are, entity in the state, got an exemption to review all of this. We, Friends of the Earth, Mothers for Peace, the Sierra Club, have brought tremendous public pressure on the state Water Resources Control Board, the Water Board, which is going to make a decision. Are we going to give PG&E an exemption from the state law, or are we going to require that they build cooling towers? That would cost $1.5 to $4 billion. That is another economic pressure point that could lead to the early closure of Diablo Canyon.
So this is actually a state issue. I mean, the state, it's a federal issue too, but the state actually has the power to yank Diablo Canyon's operating permit. Is that correct?
No, they have the power to force them to comply. The NRC, controls their operating license. They have the power to force them to comply with the state law. And that's what we're asking. We're not asking for special treatment. We're not asking for new legislation. We're not asking for a modification. We're saying make PG&E comply with the law and stop damaging the marine environment with the intake of 2.5 billion gallons of cooling water a day.
Well, there's a novel concept in there. Why should the nuclear power industry obey the law?
Well, they've been trying to avoid it, and as you know, utilities are some of the most powerful institutions in every state. They've been there for over 100 years. They know every legislator. They fund their pet projects. And, of course, the ratepayers pay for this. So they have tremendous political ability. But this has brought together not only people who are against nuclear power, such as the World Business Academy, the Mothers for Peace, Friends of the Earth, the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, Sierra Club, and other groups, but people in the surfing community, people in the marine conservation, fishermen. We've had a broad coalition of people wanting to see that Diablo Canyon complies with this legislation.
We're talking with Dr. Jerry Brown of the World Business Academy in Santa Barbara, and Becca Clausen of the Food and Water Project nationwide. Is that right, Food and Water Project?
Well, I'm also with the World Business Academy, but an organizer of Food and Water Watch. Yep.
Food and Water Watch. About the oil spill at Santa Barbara most recently, and, of course, shutting down that Diablo Canyon. I was just told today I interviewed the executive director of the California Solar Energy Industry Association. There are 55,000 people working in the solar business in California alone. And, this dwarfs the number of people nationwide who are working in coal mines, and it certainly dwarfs the number of people who are working at Diablo Canyon. And I got to say that every time we turn around, we get hammered on this jobs issue, saying you can't close Diablo Canyon, it's going to cost too many jobs. But Jerry Brown, you know, as an economist, that's not the case. Well, tell us about the jobs.
I'm not an economist by training, but I've read enough and written enough on this industry. And the World Business Academy, I direct the Safe Energy Project for the World Business Academy. We have two goals. Shut down the remaining nuclear reactors in California. San Onofre is closed. We're working on Diablo Canyon. And bringing about 100% renewable energy, end oil, end fracking, and new natural gas plants, stop nuclear power as quickly as possible. The reality is that a dollar invested in renewable energy creates 4 to 10 times as many jobs, depending on the sector, as a dollar invested in nuclear energy. This is totally clear in Germany, which is moving rapidly towards 50% renewable energy, which after Fukushima, Chancellor Merkel said, look, Japan is a very sophisticated society, and Fukushima, a nuclear accident, brought them to their knees. We are not going to go down that same road, and they are shutting down and phasing out all of the remaining nuclear power plants. So Germany's 19 nuclear power plants will all be closed by about 2022. Germany now is going gangbusters in renewable energy, and it's become a renewable energy jobs powerhouse. There are more people employed in the renewable energy sector and advanced energy generation in Germany than in any other sector of the economy of Germany except for the auto industry. So there's the proof right there. And what people in Diablo Canyon should be thinking about is moving into high-tech jobs, renewable industry jobs, because the end of nuclear power is not the end of the economy or the end of jobs for skilled workers. It's the beginning of the sunrise industry of the jobs that will take us into the future.
Well, that's 100% true. And, you know, shutting Diablo Canyon will free up about 2,200 megawatts of capacity that needs to be filled with renewable energy. And we know that's going to happen. It's just a question of how fast. So I want to ask one of those vague questions. You're both in Santa Barbara. I hate to ask a question like this, but what is the general feeling, the general mood on the street among the people of Santa Barbara? How are people reacting to this latest spill?
I would say people are outraged. Everyone I talk to, I ask, hey, how are you doing today? They say, well, I'm pretty upset. What are we going to do? People are ready for action here.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to suggest you do, and then we can do this next round. We'll go up to Sacramento. Is I think you should buy like a dozen orange jumpsuits and a couple of tickets for people to go to Texas and do a citizen's arrest on these guys. And you know, enough is enough already. We're going to have, you know, we're looking at a situation at Diablo Canyon. I don't have to tell you guys what could happen there. And we know that the owners of PG&E would never be prosecuted. This spill at Santa Barbara is so egregious and so over the top. I think that a stand should really be made there. I'm probably out of line saying this. I'm supposed to be asking you guys. But, you know, do you think something like that could happen in Santa Barbara? Would people go to those lengths?
Well, people, you know, we have people who come to our meetings every month, about 100 people. This community wants to close down Diablo Canyon because we're downwind from it, because we would suffer tremendously, as would all the people in the coast and down to L.A., of a major meltdown there. And now, on top of it, you know, the oil spill. So people are mobilized. People are outraged. I think you, Harvey, you know, with your national scope, you'll have an ability to maybe orchestrate something like that over towards Texas, and maybe some people from here would join you. I know people are very caught up in the local activities of trying to build 100% microgrid, and also, you know, just dealing with pressure to clean this up and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Well, give us the websites where people can connect with you. We're almost out of time. You've been great.
Okay. For the World Business Academy, you can go to worldbusiness.org. worldbusiness.org, and just go to the Safe Energy Project, and you'll find all of our information on closing Diablo Canyon. Safe Energy Project at worldbusiness.org.
And Becca Carson, you have a Facebook page people are going to for this spill?
Yes, it's End Oil Now.
All right, thank you guys so much. You've been great. My pleasure. Talk to you next week in Solartopia.
Thank you, Harvey.
Thank
you
for having us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Solartopia, Solartopia.